Today, we're talking about a topic that's pretty relevant to the Bay Area, the so-called nanny state.
In other words, how much should laws govern what we do?
The Bay Area is at the forefront of a potential shift in conventional thinking on the issue, specifically around obesity. Voters in Richmond over in the East Bay are considering a ballot measure that would tax sodas and other sugary drinks sold in the city at a penny an ounce.
And at the same time, on the East Coast, today, New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg's straight-up ban on selling soft drinks larger than 16 ounces in restaurants, it just passed. These are the opening salvos in the soda wars.
Here's Mayor Bloomberg speaking this morning in New York City.
Beginning March 12th, sugary beverages will no longer be sold by food establishments in portions greater than 16 ounces. Fruit or vegetable juice with no added sugar or beverages that contain more than 50% milk are not impacted by this rule. The new regulation applies to sugary drinks sold at restaurants, food carts, delis, movie theater concessions, stadiums, and arenas. And the six-month window will give businesses time to adjust their menu boards, container size, and make any other necessary changes to ensure that they are in compliance so that it will not impact their ability to continue with their businesses. They have plenty of time to make the adjustments.
While the Board of Health this morning approved Bloomberg's ban, many New Yorkers are not into it. A New York Times poll conducted last month found 60% of respondents thought this was a bad idea. So did Stephen Colbert from Comedy Central's The Colbert Report. But he does think it's funny.
Nation, I am no fan of New York City billionaire Michael Bloomberg. He is turning New York into an organic slow food nanny state. First, he banned smoking. Then he banned trans fats. Then he added bike lanes everywhere. Now it's nearly impossible for me to hit bikers on my drive to work. And folks, now he's gone too far. No more giant sodas? Come on! This is America, the land of plenty. We haven't even achieved type 3 diabetes yet. We're so close. And I don't know about you, but I don't know about you folks. But I can't drink less than 16 ounces. I need a soda so large that James Cameron wants to go to the bottom of it. This ban will completely ruin my movie-going experience.
Stephen Colbert and other comedians have found some pretty easy laughs behind what people are calling the Big Gulp ban.
Yeah, like, what do you call a small Coke in New York, Hannah?
I don't know, what?
A large? I just made that up.
Mm-hmm. Well, while New Yorkers roast their mayor's good intentions, economists are considering other ways to break down obesity by smacking it in the bottom line.
Oh, good one.
I try. A new study of 1,700 U.S. supermarkets found that small price differences can nudge consumer behavior one way or another.
Like coupons or Groupons.
Right. Or taxes. Which brings us back to the Bay Area. Now that the New York Board of Health has approved the big soda ban, the nation's eyes turn to the city of Richmond, California, where voters have a chance to really shake up the soda industry. They'll take on Measure N, which would tax sugar-sweetened beverages at a penny an ounce.
So a 64-ounce Super Big Gulp would cost 64 cents more.
Yep. And a companion measure, Measure O, would advise the city to spend that revenue on sports and anti-obesity programs. But these are no slam-dunk propositions. And, of course, the soda industry is putting up some big bucks to block them from passing.
KALW's Isaac Silk went to Richmond to hear what people there think about this tax measure that has the whole nation abuzz.
If you ride BART to its northwestern terminus, you'll find yourself at McDonald Avenue and 19th Street, just a few blocks east of downtown Richmond. McDonald is a four-lane street lined with restaurants, gas stations, and other retailers. I came here to find out how local business owners feel about the soda tax ballot initiative.
It will affect all the businesses around here, not only mine. I mean, it's in general.
That's Adele Moe. He owns La Raza Market and Grocery.
The purpose of the tax, they say it's for the kids not to drink soda. But we are surrounded by other cities. Everybody's going to go just buy it somewhere else.
Mo and other business people are afraid their profits will fall. While supporters of the tax say they can focus on selling different products, Mo just doesn't think it's the government's responsibility to tell him what to do.
I mean, when you raise like $1.40 per 20-pack or 24-pack, I know it's, I have kids also and I'm worried about them, but this thing could be done from home, not from the stores.
Mo's got a point, but it's not supported by the Institute of Medicine. In a study released in May, the health arm of the National Academy of Sciences found that people's ability to exercise a personal choice has been limited by a lack of options and a preference to eat unhealthy, if tasty, foods. Looking around McDonald Avenue, I can see examples of this everywhere. Fast food joints dot the block. But there are other possibilities. A few blocks down the street, I meet Dionisio Hracia, a manager of La Flor de Jalisco Market. He's against Richmond's new tax proposition, not because he's concerned over his bottom line or worried about who controls whether or not people drink too much soda.
I don't support it because it doesn't seem like it's going to help much at all, and the money's probably going to get lost in the process of all the paperwork and all that stuff.
Haracha's concerns come back to how the proposition is written. If it passes, the money raised by the tax will be sent to the city's general fund, where it will be used at the discretion of local government. Another ballot measure advises the city to spend their revenue on education and recreation programs, but it's non-binding, so the money could conceivably go anywhere. As I make my way farther east on McDonald, the retail stores thin out, making way for housing complexes, churches, a school, and Nickel Park. It's a large plot of land with baseball diamonds, playscapes, and tennis courts. The advisory initiative directs the city to create more places like this. That could help change youth culture in Richmond. Every year in Contra Costa County, $404 million in healthcare costs are attributed to obesity, and the rate of obesity is rising. By 2030, 42% of adults in Richmond will be obese. At Nickel, I talk with a teenage skater named Dell, who doesn't share his last name. He says he doesn't think the prop proponents have the right take on the obesity issue.
They're doing it wrong because the way to reverse that obesity is to make healthier foods cheaper, because the fatty foods are more, they're not as expensive to buy, so like nobody's rich in Richmond really, so.
The city of Richmond is tackling that issue as well, recently launching initiatives to distribute more low-cost produce around the city. And it's arguable that raising the price of sugary drinks will point more people toward healthier options. I meet a man named Pablo in the park, a father who doesn't give his last name. He supports taxes and other government programs that could help people get healthier.
Like the cigarette, you know. Before, the people buy cigarette, and then the government say, okay, right now I had too many people with cancer, too many problems. I can pay for that. So I need, now all the company, cigarette company need pay tax. When you buy any case with cigarettes, you will be paid tax. And that tax will be used for help to the people with cancer or problem for the smoke.
Opinions in Richmond are divided over the ever-contentious issue of raising taxes. But what the people of McDonald Ave do agree on is that obesity in Richmond is a serious issue. In November, the voters will help decide what role their government will have in the solution. In Richmond, I'm Isaac Silk for Cross Currents.